Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. Talking with me today, Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, let me ask you a question by setting up a given situation, okay?
Fair enough.
Say a pastor is in his or her third year at a given church and has already preached on the topics this given minister is passionate about. What does he or she come up with to preach next?
Okay, so it's, where do you go next, huh?
Yeah, you've exhausted everything that's on your heart or everything that you, for years in seminary, you said, when I get in the pulpit, these are the things, these are the 22 things I'm going to tell my congregation. And now you've gone through those and have exhausted them. Where do you go from here?
Beside looking for another pastorate.
Yes.
I think this is a common dilemma, Dean. It's the dilemma I faced when I was on the broadcast because, you know, I did a different message 6 days a week or six messages a week. So pretty soon you run dry. The question is, where do you go for that inspiration? I found a query that helped me was to say in my personal life, and as I would converse with other people, what do you think Jesus would preach if he came here on a Sunday? So it's an imagination question. You say, okay, Jesus, you're going to come. What do you think would be important to talk about? And you don't necessarily get an answer immediately, but it helps you think beside just your own thinking. So you have the Son of God, and here he's come now. Does he preach a message of comfort? Does he challenge them? Does he explain something they don't understand? You know, so you have a huge number of possibilities you can come up with. The pastor where I am in church now, he's talking about the tangible kingdom. So he's gone back to Jesus' basic message, and he's saying this should be visible in your world. You're the ones who are the light of the world and so on. So he's grabbed onto the key message of Jesus, and he's speaking it on Jesus' behalf. But, you know, Jesus could give a prophetic word. That's very possible. He does often in the Gospels. He could give a word about love. He might talk about Christian hospitality. He might talk about somebody being born again. He might say, you haven't paid attention to the children. You don't have an attitude toward them the way I would like for you to have. You know, there are a lot of things, but it's trying to come at the subject content from a different perspective than just your own. You could say the same thing. What might the Apostle Peter want to say to our congregation? But Jesus is the place where I would begin anyway, as the Son of God.
So this is kind of a modified what would Jesus do, only in this case we're saying what would Jesus preach.
Yeah, well, that is interesting because that book, obviously, Charles Shelton's book, was a huge help to many people just to being able to imagine what would Jesus do. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but it is, yes.
What would Jesus do for pastors? In this case, what would Jesus preach?
Yes.
Now, you've already named some topics of things that Jesus preached about. Are there other topics that grab you or that come to mind as you're thinking about it?
There are, you know, he has all kind of parables in there. So it's almost endless. I would probably not say review the Gospels and try to figure out from there as much as just, you know, in your own personal prayer time, say, Jesus, am I missing something important that I think you might want to say? Because, again, that's our role to represent him. We are, in a sense, substituting on Jesus' behalf, which is that awesome privilege and responsibility that we have. So you could end up with all kinds of responses to that.
Is it possible that one thing that might be helpful to a pastor as he or she considers what's happening in the world of the congregation that they have in their church, what are the kinds of things that's happening and how would Jesus respond? What would he respond? For example, I say to myself, if Jesus were to come to my church, what would he have to say about our current economic crisis? Or what would he have to say about this the political season, and particularly not who would he choose, this candidate or that, but one of the things that's concerned me as a believer in our current political climate is this extreme animosity that's developed mm-hmm. between people of differing political beliefs. That to me is something that is worthy to address, and I think Jesus would have something to say about that. So in answering the question, what would Jesus preach, you can also look at what's happening, which is why it's important for a pastor to know his or her congregation, know the kinds of things that are troubling them or that are a part of their lives, and And what would Jesus have to say about that?
Yeah, I think all that's very good, and you've explained that very well. And I just say you're going through the very thought process that I want you to go through.
Okay, so now if two or three pastors had a conversation about what Jesus might preach to their people, is it possible they'd come up with different answers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Jesus would fashion his sermon for this given congregation, and it might be the same one for another congregation. But if you go, Jesus actually preaches to churches in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. There are seven churches, and if you study what he says to each of them, they're all very precise for those given congregations. And it would be wrong for him to say, because I said to Laodicea, you know, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. He doesn't want to preach that to Sardis or to Pergamum. That's the message for that given church. So it's very possible that pastors could all come up with seven different ideas. And then if you say Jesus more, he's probably say, that's enough sermons for right now, you know. So
is this a harder question to answer if you're a guest preacher?
Oh, Dean, that's something I struggle with. When you come out to a church as a guest speaker and you don't really know what's going on there, they may need to be comforted and you preach a dumb message about, you know, challenging them to the needs of the world. That's a very difficult assignment to have, and I don't like that assignment, and that's why a lot of times I will call the church and say, tell me to the best of your ability where you are right now. And I don't want to be inappropriate, and I'm not omniscient, so that's a difficult problem for me. In fact, I'm a little bit dumb, you know. And I had a great conversation. The last church I went to, I talked with the minister there for probably 20 minutes. And I said, you know, give me a feel of where you are and where your people are. And that was extremely helpful to me. So when I came in, I wasn't coming in blind. And I think that when I preached, I think the minister felt like it was a very good message for that given congregation on that day. And that was very satisfying to me.
What about the minister who's following a schedule where the text has already been chosen for him or her, like the liturgical calendar, church year?
That's also sometimes difficult. Fortunately, the way the liturgical calendar is set up, you usually have an option of a number of texts, usually something from the Psalms, something Old Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles. So it gives you an option. In some ways, it's helpful because you're limited to what you can say. You can also move away from that if you want to. But I think if you're going to follow the liturgical readings, probably, especially if people in the congregation are doing them, you want to speak on those topics. But then you say, okay, well, I understand what these different texts are. Now I have to say, what do I think the Lord would have me do as far as choosing those texts? And then again, that doesn't prohibit you from talking to the minister and finding out more what's going on in the congregation, or as a minister talking to your people and saying, you know, which ones of these texts do you think would be most appropriate? Because a lot of times the text the minister would choose would not necessarily be the text the parishioners would choose. So this whole dialogue is going on all the time between Jesus, the people, the pastor, you know, understand what is the word that God wants to deliver to this congregation at this time?
Yeah, we've talked about that in previous podcasts where you need to get feedback from your congregation to know where they are. So that would seem to be a very important aspect of this. What if you're a media minister? How would this play into that role?
You know, Dean, I've thought sometimes with ministers, that's hard because those are totally different situations. I think usually what happens is the fellows who go on to radio or television, they preach what they're going to preach to their congregation and they don't struggle with it. But for me, I didn't, when I was in media for those 20 years, I didn't have a local congregation. And so I was, in a sense, the nation was my pulpit, or that was my congregation. A lot of times they'd said, we'd like for your sermons to be used on missionary stations and such. And I said, you know, it's possible, but I'm not really aware of what's going on in Peru or whatever, you know, so I'm speaking to an American audience and it may not be appropriate for other places, but when I was in media, I saw that as more a prophetic role than a pastoral role. Mm-hmm. Do I make sense of what I'm saying? So I was, and that's why I would talk about revival a lot of times, because this was something that was needed for the nation. I came back to it again and again and again. But I was speaking in a prophetic sense. If I were speaking on radio today, I think I would say, you know, when we look at this country and all the struggles we're going through, I believe that we are wrestling with God. I think God often in Scripture uses difficult times, especially in the Old Testament, to force his people back to himself. He does that even in the book of Revelation, which I've done a lot of work in lately. He brings to bear on people terrible pressures, and his desire is that they will bow their knee before him. So it's a gracious gift. Most of the time, people grow spiritually during difficulty far faster than they do when everything is going well. The old Puritans used to say there's the test of fire and there's also the test of favor. And the harder of the test is the test of favor. Because when we have everything going the way we want it, we don't need God anymore. Okay, but I think that people are saying, you know, we got to toss out this administration, or we got to get rid of that senator or that guy in the House of Representatives, whatever. We got to change the judges around the country. Those are all scapegoats in a way. Now, I'm not saying those are unimportant. All of them are important places, but they're not as important as where are God's people in the church in terms of what he's trying to do, or where is the nation? It's like, are they coming to their knees and saying, God, we need to repent of our sins? This is a sinful nation. You know, it has a lot of problems. But my personal feeling is that pulpit, which spoke to many, many Christian people and some non-Christian people, that was a prophetic role in a way. The prophets speak different than pastors speak. Pastors are very oriented to their people and want to comfort them, want to be there when they go through sorrows. The prophets were kind of this strong voice that all of us said something, you're not thinking right, let me set you right. And so there's a difference. So when you say, what if you're a media minister? I think if you have a daily program that gives you access to people, you have to say, you know, I got people in Nebraska and I got them in Georgia and I got them over in Arizona and up in Connecticut. And what is God wanting to say to this nation? I resisted oftentimes people calling me Pastor Maines because I wasn't pastoring a congregation. I was in a whole different role, and I saw that role as being different and coming up with different messages than I would come up with if I were the pastor of a local congregation. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and how I would respond to what would Jesus say through me. That was different than maybe how a pastor would respond. The pastoral role is more gentle. The prophetic role, fortunately, if you're on radio, you can say some very strong things that would sound extremely harsh in a pulpit, and they may throw tomatoes at you, but when you're doing it, you know, through a microphone, they can't throw the tomatoes at you. But most of the prophets, they weren't responded to very well. You know, people mm-hmm. didn't like the prophets. So all these are different things. But and I think Jesus, if he had a chance to speak on America Media, I think he'd speak differently than, you know, what he would say to the country might be different than what he would say to this given congregation. So we're playing with tricky roles here. Mm-hmm.
That's all very helpful, though, and it's important for pastors to understand that if they come to a roadblock and they're thinking about what to preach, a good question to ask is, what would Jesus preach?
Yes. Yeah, very good. And very satisfying when you die someday to be able to say, Jesus, I did my very best to say what I thought you were going to say.
You were going to say. Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad that you joined us for this podcast, and we invite you to come back for our next podcast. We also invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there for pastors to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And once again, we invite you to join us when we meet.